Welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design, the Dr. C podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, or simply Dr. C. Tune in every 2 to 5 weeks, every Monday, as we explore the unique journeys of entrepreneurs. Our podcast sheds light on the paths entrepreneurs have taken in their respective industries. Each episode, we dive into the stories of entrepreneurs, their challenges, triumphs, and the insights gained along their journey. We believe in the power of innovation, resilience, and the entrepreneurial spirit that drives success. Together, we'll learn from a diverse array of entrepreneurs united by their passion for making a difference. Now is the time to unlock the secrets of entrepreneurship. Now is the time to be inspired, to learn, and to craft your own path to success. Join me, Dr. C, as we embark on this journey together. What started as a please don't tell style jewelry studio in 2020 has blossomed into 3 studios across Colorado and California for intentional permanent jewelry design with impact. Co-founder Sasha, a true daughter of an artist, her mother Carol, her co-founder, developed a keen eye for style and fashion design at an early age. Starting her beadwork at 9 years old, she still wears many of those early pieces today. Sasha earned her accredited jewelry professional degree from the Gemology Institute of America while studying for her bachelor's degree. She went on to work for various fashion houses in New York and Paris before landing in Boulder, Colorado to start her family chapter. Now a young mom of 2, Sasha brings the vision, inspiration, and motivation to the shared entrepreneurial spirit, which brings Love Sarow to life. Sasha and Carol, thank you so much for both being here today. It is such a pleasure to have both of you. I am so excited.
Thank you so much for having us. We're so excited.
So how we really got started, I mean, my mom is my muse. She's an incredible artist in many different mediums, but primarily sculpture, I would say, is the medium that really stands out to me. We've had these gorgeous life-size marble sculptures in our homes, in our gardens. My whole life, we've been like lugging around piles of tons of marble to every home that we've ever lived in. She also has restored historical homes my whole life. So we've always been in pure artistic, gorgeous chaos, which is why I really thrive in this entrepreneurship environment, the pure chaos, but the beauty of it. And so I found myself really reaching for something more creative in terms of a response to the pandemic. Like everyone else, right? So many terrible things came out of the pandemic. So many beautiful things also were birthed from that and everyone's reaction to it. And mine was, I had 2 small children. I had just had my second baby. He was only 6 months old when the shutdown happened. And I had been working a wonderful job, but it was very focused on compliance, legal, accounting. It was a lot of hours, a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And so I needed some creative sparkle, honestly. But I've been making jewelry since I was a tiny kid, 8 or 9 years old. She always inspired that type of creative use of my hands, even working with semi-precious stones at that young age. So I still use actually a lot of those same materials today. But I was basically finding myself very late at night nursing the baby and beading. And then during the day, I would take photos on her sculptures of my work. And the lines and texture of her sculpture with my creations, I just felt like, wow, we really have this wonderful creative synergy together in that visual. And I adore her. We're both air signs. We get along really, really well. But anyways, I found myself doing a lot of this photography, feeling really inspired by it. And so it was literally that week of the shutdown that we made the company. And we really did it as a way to hold each other accountable for that creative time so that we had an excuse to force ourselves to come together, right? That we wanted to do anyways, but it was a weird time, right? Yeah. Like people were afraid to leave the house, especially in the beginning. And I had this young baby, so I was especially nervous. And so it was really nice that we had this forced creative time together, and it just really gave us new life. And so that's really how we started, was just during the shutdown, our own reaction to it.
That's a beautiful journey, and just even
the fact that you were really working with numbers and legal and contracts and all those things, but really looking at that creative outlet that you were missing, but mm-hmm. grew up with it from Carol, mm-hmm. and just that coming together piece is beautiful. And Carol, I would love to know just a little bit about your journey, how you even decided, you're like, this sounds like a good idea.
When she was young, instead of the lemonade stand, we did the lady shop. So we made soaps and we did all of the earrings and beading, but I didn't want her to do the glass or the plastic. I wanted her to get the real stuff. So we would buy the peridot and buy the lapis and buy the rubies and let her put together her little earrings and stuff. And it was great.
It was so fun.
Sounds so fun.
And then when she was beading with Jack, the jump rings kept on splitting and then the pieces would fall apart. And it was really annoying me to a high degree. So I told her, I said, we need to buy a welder to manage these jump rings because I'm going nuts with this. So we bought the welder. And then once we got the welder, we're like, this is a useful tool.
Yeah.
So we trained on the welder and then we started taking it out and doing the chains.
Yeah, we did. We started really with one Christmas party in 2020 for our hair salon. Our stylist who owns the salon thought it was just the coolest, most novel concept. This was okay back in 2020. It's very rampant now. It's right. pretty much everywhere. Even yeah. the farmer's market in front of our Melrose location in Los Angeles has three permanent jewelers at the farmer's market. Granted, very, very different concept. They're yeah. all using gold filler, gold plate. Mm-hmm. It's very affordable. It's not the quality that you're gonna see in our studio. So mm-hmm. to me, it's like comparing the lemons and grapes, like just both wonderful, but yeah. very, very different. Mm-hmm. She thought it was gonna be a really, really wonderful way to bond her stylist at the end of a very challenging year, especially yeah. for the service industry. So she had us come in and we did a permanent bracelet for all of her stylists. And of course they all told all of their clients. This was in Boulder, which is, you know, a very small mountain town, very tight-knit community. So it kind of spread like wildfire, honestly. Mm-hmm. I'm so grateful for that opportunity. And we really started in this little one-car garage, very Please Don't Tell vibe. It was in the middle of East Boulder, behind all the auto body shops with the glass blowers and the cabinet makers. And here we are in our heels and kimonos with our chains in this little hidden location that I really had to send treasure map, almost like coordinates to folks to find us. And like a lot of people will surprise, you know, a significant other or their mother or someone close to them with our experience. And they would show up in front of the door and be like, where am I? You're taking me to get my car worked on for my birthday? Like, what is this? And then I would open the garage and it's like full of her gorgeous sculptures and these like amazing burl wood antiques, and then there's me like, hi guys. And then we sit down and have this really intimate, wonderful experience together, which I know everybody, I mean, I still crave it. I love that connection with my clients and I think it's so special, but especially when we started in 2020, when there were still retail restrictions, right? Like you could right. only have a certain number of folks in your store. Granted, because we were a private space, it was really an ideal place for us to start, right? In masks, the whole lot. And it's funny because a lot of my clients from those early days, I never got to see their faces. So I recognized them from like tattoos or the piece we created together, and then seeing their faces and getting to know them thereafter was just so special. It was just such an odd, yeah. such an odd time, but really special.
But because we were still working both jobs,
right, yeah.
we'd open up the schedule and it would fill. And we'd open up the schedule a little bit more and it would fill. So we're like, well, I guess as much as we open the schedule, we should just go for this. And mm-hmm. so that's when we decided to just jump in 2 feet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. And I love just the synergy of just how everything unfolded. And it was just so natural, it sounds like.
Because oh, yeah.
people started to find out, especially being in like the garage and by all these like other auto shops and whatnot, people are kind of like, wait, what?
For
but
sure.
being able to just trust yourselves, be able to have the sculptures as well as the jewelry, and becoming something that's so niche, because at first when you started, it wasn't really out there. Now it's starting to become everywhere. I'm meeting mm-hmm. people that are doing permanent jewelry, and I'm just like, oh, okay, mm-hmm. I know Sasha. Mm-hmm. And that's how I really learned about it even more so from your company. And I'm curious, because I know you started in Boulder. You started in the garage. Now you have a location in Boulder. You have one in Cherry Creek, as well as California. Mm-hmm. What was that process like in getting those started?
Divinely guided.
Divinely guided, yes. So well said. We made our first hire in fall of 2021. Mm-hmm. So it was just the two of us, and completely self-taught on all of our equipment. Now we have a very thorough 6-week apprenticeship program that we put folks through. The skill set that we teach in the studio is very different than you're going to see in any other studio, given that we don't use any jump rings. Which, if you're using a jump ring, you can predict how that ring is going to behave every weld, every time. It will be the same, regardless of the chain that you're welding. In our studio, we're welding the specific link that the client chooses, which is why we offer so much customization. It's just a very different skill set. So it requires different knowledge, more practice before you can do it on humans, especially with the heavier chains that will get hot, that can spark. It's just, you know, it's truly an art form. Once we made that first hire, we had an opportunity to pop up at a space in Cherry Creek North that my husband had leased pre-COVID for a wine bar concept. During COVID, that project unfortunately folded, and he had this lease that was just sitting there collecting dust, and I was getting a lot of clients from Denver and further south in Colorado. So he was like, Sash, why don't you just pop up for a few months, just try it out, test the Denver market, right? We were still in that tiny garage in the middle of nowhere in Boulder. And so we did. We opened Valentine's Day of 2022 in Cherry Creek, and it was going so well. We had the opportunity to take over the lease, so we did. We did a full renovation, and then because that location was gaining so much traction, we had outgrown our Boulder space. And so in fall of 2022, we found this super cool building. Anyone in Boulder is going to recognize it. It's right next to Boulder High, right at the base of the hill at CU. And it's this 100-year-old auto body shop. It is such a vibe. It's a fully working auto body shop. So we really leaned into it, and we actually weld on car lifts.
The scissor lifts, right?
Yeah.
It's so cool.
It's such a vibe. It's really like the ultimate masculine meets feminine vibe in there. And it's a really, just really cool creative space. And so from that point when we made our first hire, we then found a couple of other really, really stellar entrepreneurial, gritty, awesome ladies that joined us. One of them is still with us today, and she actually opened our location with us. So she raised her hand very early on. If you ever want to open in California, which is where we're from, that's why we chose to expand there. I want to be the one to do it, and it's worked out for her, so we're so thrilled about that too.
I love this. Yeah. I love the theme of the auto body shops. I feel like it's followed you.
It's such a vibe. Speaking of cars, very early on bought a school bus. It's a Chevy short bus. We intentionally got it as kind of a mobile studio. It was a dream to be able to do festivals and Burning Man and like all the things, all the art shows around the country. And then we're a little naive to how much solar costs. And so for now, she's parked at our Boulder location. She's a wonderful billboard, and we take her all around town when we do fun pop-ups. It's a really nostalgic, fun way to travel around. So,
and fits all the gear, because when we travel to pop-ups, it's tables and it's welders and it's tanks and it's a lot of stuff. You know?
Yeah,
so we
lots
put
of
everything
stuff.
In the bus, we go. And it's fun.
Yeah, it's super fun.
Yeah. And just thinking about it, because a lot of people that do want to start maybe going to where there can be a vendor and have these pop-ups, just being able to realize how much the equipment and everything you have to move and tables. Like, I've done a couple events, but it's nothing like having welders and all this other stuff that you need in order to make those more efficient.
Totally.
But I love that you guys really utilize the different tools that you have at hand to really expand. And I'm curious, because you have expanded a lot in the last few years, what has it been like hiring? Because this is something where a lot of entrepreneurs struggle when it comes to, okay, I'm going to leave my baby with these individuals. Can I trust them? And all the things that go into hiring. What was that process like for you? I know you had a couple people early on.
Yeah, it was really challenging. There's no sugarcoating how challenging hiring is, especially when it's your baby, like you put it, it's emotional for us. Like, as family, we've birthed this amazing business that is so near and dear to our hearts, that we touch so many clients and help heal their lives. We do a lot of in memoriam appointments as well. It gets very, very deep, these connections that we foster through this business. And so to trust folks with that, and to give the same experience that I would give, again, on that emotional level, is so challenging. Mm-hmm. But I'm so grateful, because I've learned so much, even from the not so positive experiences with hiring, with management. I tell everyone that works for me, I have no management experience. I'm winging it. I'm doing my best. And I think also, as a business owner and as an individual, especially as someone, I work really well independently. I always have in my past lives before doing this. So also growing with my team that is generally young is a challenge. So I always ask for grace on that side too, because I'm not perfect, but
yeah, none of us are.
Mm-hmm. Now we get so many applications. Like, I get at least an application a day of like really solid candidates, right? So I'm super, super blessed for that and grateful. But in the beginning, a lot of people still didn't even know what is permanent jewelry. People thought we were doing dermal piercings, if you know what that is. It's like putting a diamond under the skin or in the cheeks.
Oh,
if you've ever seen that, it's basically like a floating stone that goes into your skin. So a lot of folks thought, even when I was popping up at little boutiques on Pearl Street in Boulder, they were like, oh, so you're doing, is that the piercing in the skin? And I'm like, no, that needle's not going to touch you. It doesn't hurt. Let me tell you about it. But like, it's not so much that reaction now, because it's so rampant. The industry has just blossomed in this gorgeous way, which has also posed other challenges for us.
Yes. And what are some of those challenges?
I would say the biggest challenge is appealing to a very wide market of folks, just because of wonderful social media, right? And permanent jewelry is very hot. I mean, that's how it's really exploded, is thanks to TikTok and Instagram. So thank you, social media. But now that it's so popular, and we're still getting all of those folks who are interested but don't necessarily understand the quality difference or the price difference and the investment difference in fine jewelry. Right. So solid gold, solid materials, real genuine stones versus plated or filled base metal materials.
On a jump ring.
On a jump ring, which is a creative choice. And glass stones, imitation stones, or lab grown. That is a very controversial topic. But we choose to work in the highest quality materials that we find to be the most durable, have the most longevity, and be hypoallergenic for anyone who even has the most sensitive of skin, to be able to wear permanently and have that performance forever, that lasting performance. And then when it comes to the stones, which we started honestly with a very small menu of stones, only 9 in one shape, but still genuine set in solid gold. Now we have over 180 different choices. Yes, we love choices. But I studied gemology in school as a side hustle. I studied psychology as well, actually, but just something that I was very interested in. I was interning for a jewelry designer in college. She wanted me to sell diamonds for her, and you needed at that time a GIA, Gemological Institute of America certificate as an accredited jewelry professional in order to sell diamonds. You need to know your 4 C's. You need to know all the things, which I agree with. It's very important. So I studied that. And then bringing it back, I felt like it was really important to integrate that more technical knowledge with what we're really into, which is the healing power, more of the metaphysical side of crystal healing. So she went to India a few years ago and had an amazing experience with a Jyotish, which is like a crystal healer, kind of like a shaman, but for stones, which in that culture, in Eastern wisdom, I've been told you're supposed to interview 3 and make sure that they all give you the same information of which hand, you're supposed to wear the emerald and it needs to touch the skin. It needs to shine through in order to absorb the full benefit, or you need to wear it with a diamond so that it amplifies the energy properly. It's a whole prescription.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh my God, tell me more.
It is such a rabbit hole. Yeah, I'm still learning. But it's really become such a huge part of our practice and our creative process in the studio that we'll consult with clients on what they're attracted to. We believe most of the time the stone chooses you, not the other way around. And usually you find out what that stone that's choosing you, what it's used for in terms of healing, and instant tears in terms of alignment for the client. It's a very, very powerful experience, powerful practice, something that's really not to be taken lightly, in my opinion, which is why we allow our clients also to evolve their piece over time. Mm-hmm. So let's say you came in today, you got a permanent chain, and you were like, okay, I was not expecting so many choices. I feel overwhelmed. I don't know where to start with the stones, right? And so I would say, let's see which one calls to you. Let's learn what they mean and then think about it. You can come back next week or 2 years from now and add that stone to that chain. You don't have to create a whole new piece. So you can continue to evolve your jewelry. It's permanent, but it's not, right? It can evolve just as we do as humans, which I think is really, really powerful. Mm-hmm. And we have people add stones for plenty of milestones, whether it's, you know, a healing stone for a particular reason, they are celebrating a milestone in their lives, a birthday, a union, a death. There are countless reasons to use stones and to continue to storytell through your piece with those energies, which are just so potent. And that's why we really believe in using genuine stones above AA quality, which it goes AA, AAA. They have to be set in solid gold. They have to be the real deal, as high quality as you can source, which has taken a lot of hard work, but we've really mastered at this point, and we're just constantly working on ways to positively evolve that assortment and that menu so that we can reach even more people with those little powers, little but mighty powers.
I was gonna say, those are massive powers. I'm just like absorbing all of this, and I think it's so beautiful that you add the stones in, because there's a lot of different types of jewelry out there, and like, what, you know, the quality, and quality is really important, especially if you're gonna have that on forever. But I love what you said about the evolution of it, and it's not just permanent, you can add to it. And I think, just like you said as well, the human, we evolve every time. Our businesses evolve, your businesses have evolved, different locations. And what's that look like? What has that maybe been a lesson that you've both learned on this journey as you've evolved and the stores have grown, people have started to understand the quality and everything that you're educating everyone on?
Yeah, we're certainly learning a lot more about our client also over time, that most of the clients coming to see us at this point are coming to invest. They're coming for a piece that they do believe, as we advertise and stand behind the quality of our pieces, that it will last for them. And that is the goal, right? It's permanent jewelry. Right. It should last forever. And so we will always take care of it. A stone comes loose, we'll reset it for you. Something stretches, or it's not, you know, a match for your lifestyle, which we usually try to hone that in the initial consultation. But sometimes someone wants something very dainty and they fail to disclose that they're a rock climber and it's a mismatch. That's a very extreme example. But we'll always stand behind the client. As soon as you're a client, we'll take care of the piece for its full life. And I think that that's also really important, because we're selling a lifetime jewelry, right? And that's very, very unusual for the jewelry industry. No one warranties their stuff, even the best jewelers. So I just find that so important.
Yeah, and even with just like the evolution of the business and the jewelry, I love the healing piece of it and going to India. What was that like for you, Carol, going to India and being able to really absorb and understand the stones?
India is amazing. Mm-hmm. It's also overwhelming. And it was great. I learned a lot, and I'm happy to bring some of that knowledge back to our evolving knowledge of how the stones can help people. And it's just interesting because we have all of the stones open on the back so that the energy from the stone can reach the body without a barrier. And so it's just been a really nice trip, if you will. But the fun part is how the stones really do call to people. And so it's just fun to help everybody really customize their piece. So we can work in the numerology. If somebody likes the number 11, they can do 11 links. If two people come in and have two completely different aesthetics, then we have, oh, you take a few links of your chain and put it to your significant other, right? And vice versa, so that you can always have just a little piece of each other. So that's the really nice part about being able to customize it, so is that we can really put it together in a way that's meaningful for everybody, and everybody can tell their story through their piece, and then everybody loves it because it's uniquely for them.
Exactly.
It's really just fine jewelry creation on the spot.
And not that much more work. I mean, we just love the actual, you know, cutting, fitting, zapping part of creation is so fast, right? You're in and you're out. We love to take that extra time with our clients, which has really developed into this really wonderful experience where it takes anywhere from 40 to 70 minutes for new clients. To like really sit and explore and not rush that healing process, right? I mean, some folks coming in knowing exactly what they want. Most people come in and they have no idea the full scope of what they have at their fingertips creatively. And I'm so fortunate that I get to make these kinds of creative decisions for myself every day, which is, again, not something I'm that used to in a professional environment. And for most people, it can be overwhelming to be faced with so much creative freedom. So it's really my job and my team's job to make that a less intimidating, guided process and inspire, you know, just pull out tidbits of the story in front of them and help them understand how they can make it really custom in a simple or more intricate way. And so we like to allow time and space for that when we have these appointments.
Yeah, and you don't hear about this. I mean, I've never heard about like the aspect of going the extra mile to make sure the client's getting what they want, because it is a lifetime.
Totally.
It's permanent.
Yeah.
But being able to really have that experience with them and like guide them through that journey of finding what's the right stone, the stone calling them. Mm-hmm. I'm a firm believer in that as well. I have a lot of crystals and gemstones, and I'm always like, the stone always calls me when
totally.
I pick it.
Yeah.
And I feel that, but I feel like you just give so much room and space for people to really identify what they want, or being able to piece it together if it's their significant other and the links, and just how that really evolved. It's so beautiful. And I'm really curious, because working together, a lot of people maybe listening might want to work with their mom or their daughter or their significant other. What has that been like working together?
Honestly, it's been the best. I think we've disagreed maybe two or three times.
Oh, wow.
We're both really, really effective communicators. Like, you can't hold anything in.
Yeah.
Right? It's also tough. Like, I think we've only done this in front of an employee or two, maybe once or twice. Under stress, but like that's pretty good. I think it's pretty good. So communication is key, and also just for me, I've just always been so captivated by her. She's my ultimate muse, always has been. I loved spending time in her studio when I was a kid, just looking at all her art and her clothes, and I just find her so fascinating and beautiful that for me, she's my idol. Even though we have different work styles, she's very technical, even though she's such an artist, which is an interesting juxtaposition.
Math art.
She's very blessed. But like, she collects antiques, so her taste in, you know, the pieces that we have in the studio, aside from the car lifts in that one particular studio, those have all been in our house for like 30 years. So it's really like a big part of her curating for years and me growing up with it and just feeling so at home that it's just a warm hug, honestly. Like, I know that sounds very romantic how I'm describing it, but it really has been that kind of journey for us. Like, we were really meant to do this together.
I'm just like feeling the love.
I mean, it's true. It's true. Yeah.
And Carol, what's your experience been?
From the beginning, she said she wanted to do the heavy lifting in the company. Mm-hmm. So I let her. Been there, done that.
Yes.
And so she does. You can tell she's the front runner. And I feel like I'm more back end technical support and the muse.
And the muse, which is very important. It's the magic dust that just makes everything so much more beautiful. And gosh, her pieces, especially in Cherry Creek, that's our largest studio, so it houses the most sculptures. And those pieces, I mean, they're older than I am. Yeah. So they've been around with us, and they're so large and so contemporary and all kind of like female nude.
I kind of do
like
abstracted nudes.
Okay. So that's not a lot of heads, like a lot of body, but like very empowering. We're like very much obviously like female business.
Yes, I'm all about it.
And we do a lot of that kind of support. We've done, you know, markets for female or female identifying businesses. Yeah. We do a lot of pop-ups for other local businesses in our spaces and really try to like propel that as much as we can as well.
And we try to always have like a donation component, so we're supporting some type of a charity, so that we're also doing good along the way. And we try to keep things sustainable, so the gold is sustainable, the silver is sustainable, because we remelt and our suppliers also are sustainable that way. So it feels like we're doing good for the planet, we're doing good for people, we're doing good for each other. Mm-hmm. So it's a wonderful journey.
It is positive. Yeah.
It's all a win around. And just since you brought it up, I'm curious, because a lot of people that work in the spaces of product more so than service, but when you were looking for manufacturers, what was that process look like?
That is really tough. Honestly, yeah. I get so many DMs even still, especially more in the beginning, of people like, okay, where do you source your stones? Where do you get your chains? And I'm like, I have worked so hard to develop those relationships and to find the right quality suppliers at a price that I can afford, that I would never share that information. I've worked way too hard. But the journey, I struggled a lot with quality control in the beginning, in all transparency. And when you're buying chain in bulk by the foot, which is really what you have to do for something like this, you can't return it unless you can properly explain why there's a quality problem. So I learned very early on, with no mentorship, how to navigate that, right?
Yeah.
Which was definitely a challenge also with stone quality. And so it kind of evolved organically through a lot of research and trial and error, because we don't have as much as at our fingertips here in Denver, especially during the pandemic. So I was having to source things from other parts of the country via mail and Zoom, which is really hard when you can't touch and feel your product, right? So I would say that was one of the biggest learning curves for us in terms of sourcing proper quality that really will last. And the suppliers that we use now, we've been using for quite some time and use them pretty much exclusively. And we have had very few challenges. And I'm so grateful, because we now have, you know, a dedicated stone sourcer that I'm like, I would love to do a watermelon tourmaline, which is very unusual, or I would love to do an ametrine, which is when amethyst and citrine grow together, and I find it so extraordinarily beautiful, but very unusual. And to find those types of stones in the size that we like for our jewelry, and to be able to have them properly set and natural, not lab created, is a journey. So it's also a lot of patience. I've been working on a batch of new designs specifically only for two stones, Moonstone and Labradorite, which are in the same family. Very, very powerful stones, some of our most popular. And I've been working on these for 6 months and I still don't have them. Which for some industries you would be like, oh, that's normal. But for me, I'm like,
let's go.
We move quick. We like to move quick without compromising the quality, of course. But yeah, that's really been quite a journey.
Oh, I believe it. Mm-hmm. And that's why I was curious, because I know, I'm sure everybody wants a secret sauce. People ask me about certain things. Mm-hmm. But I think it's beautiful that how you answered it, because it is all the research. It's all the work that you have to build the relationships. That's a huge part of what I do, is relationship building, because you need to know the person first, make sure the company is up to par and your standard and the quality, the quality control. And especially during the pandemic, when you guys really started, was being able to outsource that and not be able to touch it, feel it, that experience, but being able to trust what you are getting and being able to build that relationship long-term, I think is huge and so important. So I appreciate that, because I do think it's a lot of work on the back end.
More than meets the eye.
And over time too, you know, we will like put some pieces on and they won't perform. And so we're like, this chain's out, because we're having issues with it. We tried different carat weights. We tried 10 carat because it had a better price point, and it didn't perform. It tarnished. And so we went back to the 14, and then we're like, oh, 18 would be cool. 18 is outrageously expensive.
And soft.
And soft. Or and so permanent. It doesn't really hold even up that way either, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we've gone through this process, and we continue to go through this process. You know, we'll get a chain in. How is it working? It's not working. It's breaking. It's out. But we like variety, and we like new things. So we're always trying new things. We're always bringing new chains in. We also have a program where you can bring in your own chain. Mm. So some people will inherit pieces, but it's the wrong right. size, or they want it different. And so we take those chains, if it's the right material, right. and we rework it with them, either into some of our new stuff or just rework their piece. And so that's super fun for people, too, because now they can wear grandma's bracelet because it fits.
Yeah. It gives new life. Mm-hmm. And it's also sustainable. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and a sentimental piece, too, because exactly. it's like something they already have. But you're able to use your creativity and make it work for them and what they want. I love this. I feel like everybody should know. It's just so beautiful and the story behind it. And speaking of the story, how did you get the name of your business? What inspired
Great
that?
Question. So my name is Sasha and Carol is my mom. So Saw-ro. That's it. That's it. Just love us.
Love from us.
Love from us. Yes.
It's all around, right? So much love to give and receive.
It's like love, comma, us. Yes. But yeah, that's where it came from. And honestly, that was kind of the first iteration that came out. Like
we had multiple, you know, we were putting the names together and how right. many letters do you have and what letters can work and do the numbers work out, right? Because we do the numerology and everything.
Well, yeah, and here's the crazy thing. Yeah. So I got very into numerology, and then I don't know, maybe a year after we started, and I saw this local reader, Brandy Elizabeth, who's fantastic for anyone out there who wants numerology done, but she did a reading for me on my birthday, and she did the numerology of Love Sorrow and of my name, and we have the exact same numbers.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that wild?
So it was validating. Right?
It was very validating.
Everything's divine.
What? So cool. So cool. Yeah. So, yeah.
Right. And so we have this random client come in from LA with somebody that she knows in Boulder, and she's sitting in our studio, and she goes, "You need to move to LA." So we thought, well, we know LA, and we've been talking about it, but nothing, right? Because we didn't know what neighborhood and this and that. Yeah. And she goes, "No. I know exactly the street, exactly the block. I know exactly where you need to be." So we had never had somebody so forceful.
Yeah.
Right. And so she comes in and she does this thing, but she doesn't let it go. She goes home and she texts us and calls us every day, multiple times. "I'm finding this. I'm finding that. You need to do this." I mean, really, like,
persistent.
And we're like, is it a sign? So finally, so we booked and we went out there and we looked and we found not one place to rent, but four places to rent. And we're thinking, well, this is laying it out pretty easy for us. Right. And so we thought, well, let's see if we get one of them. Right. Yeah. Everything's a step, right?
Well, and the street, I mean, in general, it feels like the small mom and pop is going away, which is extremely sad. Right. And that's, I mean, mom and daughter, right? But yeah. You know, that description. And on Melrose Place, which is where we landed, which is like one of the most popular shopping destinations in the world, and we're so grateful, but we are the only mom and pop on that whole street. Which in the beginning, when we were first looking at spaces, I was so tunnel vision on my feelings and my intuition about if it was right or wrong. And then a few months in after we opened, I was like, wow, this is like a little intimidating that we're the only mom and pop within several blocks, you know, in this neighborhood. But we're making it work and they're crushing out there. It's mostly because of Taylor and how amazing she is.
So it just, again, it goes back to that divinely guided thing, because we have, it just feels like the universe presents the next step.
Yeah.
And so we're just kind of staying open to that and trying to stay positive to that and work it, you know?
Yeah. I think we all need to do that a little more. Right. That's my like phrase for this year is elevated impact, but behind that is really flexibility and adaptability and not trying to control everything, because I think sometimes when we start something, we're like, okay, well, I want it to look like this, and it doesn't happen like that. But when we let go, more opportunities start flowing
in. Right, 100%. And all of a sudden, it's there. It's 100%. This is what needed to be.
Yeah, and sometimes you're just looking at the closed door and you're like, the window's right there showing you the sign.
No, for sure. I love how you put that. I think that the letting go piece for me, especially in 2023, because it was a year for me of a lot of lessons, you know, because we've grown so fast. I think in our first year, we grew 7,000%.
Amazing.
Like, what even is
huge
that?
Number.
I don't even know what that is. And I'm a math girl. So last year was really, you know, like a lot of challenges with personnel, a lot of challenges with growth, you know, spanning two states, especially all of the labor laws in California are so different than Colorado. So it took a lot of, you know, getting certain things in place, which is not the fun stuff. But, you know, there's no one else to do it.
Exactly.
You know, so, and I think that that's like a really humbling part of growing a business, especially a business that doesn't have a playbook, you know, like nobody yet is doing things the way that we're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, permanent jewelry, again, it's blossoming as an industry. But to me, what we're doing, I always kind of use the word permanent later when I'm consulting someone. Like for me, it's custom first. Most clients opt to make it permanent. It's low maintenance. It's made to measure. It's custom fit. It's wonderful, right? Yes. The permanent part is wonderful.
And it doesn't have the weak part of the clasp.
Which is the clasp, right? Yeah. A clasp is a mechanical piece. So that is a weak point in a piece. So yes, the permanent piece is wonderful. And that goes back to that big challenge piece of this industry just blossoming so quickly that it's a challenge for us to really differentiate ourselves and our process so that you don't make that snap judgment, oh, permanent, okay, then they just maybe have like five chains with jump rings, right?
Right.
And which again, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. It's just not what we're doing.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm just so passionate about it. I love it so much. I'm like, should I show you all my jewels?
Yes!
But they just, every single piece that I wear, I mean, I look like this even in yoga class, right? Like they go everywhere with me.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are like, oh, you have so many, like those are goals. And I'm like, yes, there are so many because I'm a maximalist in terms of how I dress and express myself through my style. However, every single bracelet, every single ring that I wear, necklace, they all have a specific story. Whether it's this one has engraved her handwriting, it says, love you. And it's on one of my favorite chains that's vintage that I ever sourced. I found it in a melt pile, and I'm still trying to get it made. And then this has a pink tourmaline, which is like a protective stone for the heart. It's for emotional healing. Very, very powerful stone. So I wear that next to my heart. So for instance, you know, all of these are stories. They really carry so much sentimental and symbolic value to explain who I am as a person, which, you know, at first glance you would just think, wow, she just loves jewelry, you know, but no, I really love what these symbolize. It's a very empowering thing for me to see through how this has grown. They all symbolize, you know, either a person or a milestone in the business or something that I've done that has really shaped who I am today, which is empowering.
Yes, and that's what I think the whole business as well. It's not just custom permanent jewelry. There's a story behind every piece, and what you both outlined so beautifully of just the clientele that have come in to really identify what is their story, what do they want to symbolize, how they want to express themselves. Because that's what I think jewelry does. It expresses like my mood, what I'm feeling like that day. Do I want a big statement necklace? Do I want like a little dainty one?
Totally.
Like it's just really about like my mood, and I feel like you really empower people to be able to wear the jewelry, have the story, and have something different. It's not just a piece of jewelry. Mm-hmm. Not that every piece of jewelry is a piece of jewelry,
sure,
but really it does tell something significant in their life and so meaningful, especially for it to be permanent.
Mm-hmm.
There's another level. It's not permanent, it's evolving.
Exactly.
And that's what I think is like the biggest shift and change from just other permanent jewelry stories I've heard of or companies. it's been a little different, but really hearing the background story of like how it just really empowering individuals to wear the jewelry that speaks to them, mm-hmm. the stones that speak to them. It's not like a big stone, just like you outlined with the one chain as well, but really each element has a specific meaning behind it. And that's what is so powerful, which is what makes you stand out from other companies out there. Not is better than the other, just different, but you really stand out in that aspect of storytelling, the experience that you're giving someone when they come into your store.
And right. You absolutely. You yeah. said it so perfectly. And I think also because it's permanent, it really allows us to get to the very core and essence of who a client is, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And what they really need, right? Whether it's, you know, celebrating the person that is most special to them, or celebrating themselves, or healing themselves. Like, every single stone carries so much potency, and we've just released a project that I'm so proud of, and it has these little affirmation cards, oh. and it explains... we'll talk. Go to Cherry Creek after this. But there are these little affirmation cards, and it explains on one side, you know, whatever I could fit on the card, right? So I really had to boil it down to its essence of how the stone heals, so that they can understand really what they've purchased and what it stands for and how it heals. And then on the back, it says an affirmation. And this, I really feel very strongly that this should be placed somewhere where the client can see it every day and say it out loud to themselves to really absorb the full benefit of the stone over time. And gosh, I practice this for myself. I have a lot of favorite children, but mostly citrine and tanzanite. And in all seriousness, this whole business is built on citrine, which is the stone of manifestation. It's the stone of confidence, warmth, the sun, joy, optimism. Like, it's such a sunny stone that also attracts so much prosperity, whether that's spiritual, financial, other ways. It's really, really powerful. And I've worn that on my throat and in the back on my first permanent necklace, and then on both wrists oh, wow. since we started. Wow. And I probably sell most citrine yeah. just because it's worked such wonders for me to have that affirmation mm-hmm. every day, and to really understand and keep up with the commitment of the promise I've made to myself, that I believe in myself and I know that I can do this, and even on the days where it doesn't feel sunny, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So definitely. I really latch on to that power of the stone. And we sell also a lot of moonstone. That's probably our most popular gemstone, which is the stone of new beginnings. It's the divine feminine. It's used in a lot of cultures to regulate female hormones, help with infertility, help with PCOS, PMS, menopause. I mean, I'm not a doctor. Let me disclose that. So whether it's psychological or energetic or a healthy mix of both, we've had a really positive response from clients on how that has helped them, and also helped them with their moon cycle manifestation practice. Like, stick your moonstone oh, into yeah. the full moonlight to cleanse yes. it and charge it, and then use that as a reminder for yourself every day on those intentions that you have planted, and that you will then release on the full moon cycle, and how powerful that reminder and that practice can be for yourself. So yeah, I mean, I could go on.
I could too, because I was just like thinking, because a lot of times when there's a full moon, I'll like light a candle and like burn a piece of paper that I'm letting go, but Love. It's like the same concept, totally. But different, where you're actually like receiving and letting go whatever the stone is to really amplify what you're trying to bring into your life.
Exactly.
Or release from your life. So I think it's beautiful. Oh my gosh, I'm loving this. But I'm really curious, based off of your experience, just starting from the ground up mm-hmm. in multiple businesses, or multiple locations, I should say, what would you say is, if somebody was wanting to start their own business, it doesn't have to be jewelry, anything else, what would be your top two or three tips for entrepreneurs listening right now that you've learned on the journey that would have really been beneficial when you started?
Good lawyer.
Oh, yeah.
Good accountant.
Good accountant.
Yes. Yes. Good tax
the
person.
The practice.
It's not for the faint of heart. There are so many rules and so much government that you have to Tai Chi your way through.
Yes.
And it's challenging. It's not for the faint of heart, and it's not for the faint of detail management. You have to really dig in and stay on top of it and don't mess around, you know, yeah. because the government has no leniency. And they want their forms and they want their taxes and they want it today. And that's the biggest part of a business that I don't think enough people understand.
Yeah.
And it's not for the faint of heart. You have to really have some grit and some persistence and some gumption to push your way through
this.
Yeah,
we don't get Christmas anymore or Mother's Day or any holiday.
And be careful about retail.
Which is okay. We love it. We would rather be with our clients than any holiday. But for me, and I totally agree yeah. with that, for me, I think it was, in hindsight, really helpful. It was really challenging to have two toddlers and a full-time executive yeah. job and do this. But it took the pressure off of me financially that I had another job. So I was mm-hmm. doing this mostly during lunch, after work, and on the weekends. Yeah. And then, like, you know, taking calls during my other job for a good portion of it. And not having that pressure to, like, I need the sales, I need to make income. And it was, like, so pure from the heart and such a fun thing that we were doing that, like, I didn't care about being paid, you know, and I didn't need it. And I think that that difference was really important, because I think if I had relied on that for my income, I wouldn't have made the right decisions for a lot of things. And I would have been focused on profit margin. I would have been focused on efficiency. I would have been focused on things that are really important to a lot of business people that are important. Don't get me wrong. And I've learned that down the line.
Yeah.
But for me, really developing this experience, cultivating those relationships with my clients and focusing on the art has differentiated us mm-hmm. a lot. And it would not have been the same if I were focused on income, you know?
Yeah.
And we do try to keep things joyful, because universal energy supports joy. Mm-hmm. So the more joyous you are about whatever you're doing, the more the universe will give you more of that.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's important to keep your perspective and your attitude in the right lane.
Yes, absolutely.
But hard if you can't pay your bills to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is why for anyone starting out, it's like, great, follow that passion, mm-hmm. figure out a way to do both so yes. that once you feel yourself busting at the seams, you know it's the right time to just consolidate to one. Yeah. But I think it puts an uncomfy pressure to start something and, like, have a new baby, you know, mm-hmm. and it doesn't even really know who it is yet. You know? Mm-hmm. And I think that is a mistake that I've seen other people make that I didn't, even though, again, it was really difficult. But this venture just, it fueled my soul and my passion in such yeah. an intense way that, again, it wasn't about that. So, yeah.
I think both of you said so many amazing things there. The first thing, definitely lawyer, tax attorney, everything, accountant, that's going to help you set up everything, like, legally and ethically and morally, all mm-hmm. the things that need to be done. And I love that you mentioned that you did work full-time when you started, because a lot of entrepreneurs want to jump in right away and you don't have the income coming in right away unless, like, you've already been building something, mm-hmm. you have the skill sets, you're financially okay, you don't have to work.
Sure.
But a lot of individuals hesitate because they're like, well, I want to jump in, but then I don't want to be working full-time still. And that's what I kind of jumped in and had to learn a lot over the last 6 years. But now, like, a few years in, I've been able to have the financial backing to do the things I want to do. But I was that person that just jumped in and I was like, all right, I'll figure it out. I'll be fine. I'll be a millionaire in 6 months. Yeah, that's not how it went. But I think some people are naive to that or don't really know how much work it takes on the back end. They just see the final product, especially all the things that you had to go through. I mean, I can only just imagine just with the resources, the manufacturing, what you mentioned, but all the sleepless nights, I'm sure, to find the right quality to get the things that you needed in order to build what you've built today.
And there's two of us, you know,
yeah.
it's not just one person by their onesie trying to figure it all out. At least we can divide and conquer a little bit, you know,
right. That's good.
But it's still a massive a massive push to get it where it needs to be.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, and a lot of people do start out by themselves. I did, and thankfully now my husband and I, but before it was just me trying to figure things out, and I don't have the brain for all the other things that I'm not good at, but being able to share, divide, conquer, mm-hmm. and be able to grow it to what it is today. It's just amazing. But I'm curious, because you've already grown so much, what are your future aspirations or goals?
Oh my God, so many.
The next thing, let's look at the next few years.
Sure. Well, you know, if you had told us or told me even last year that we would have a shop in LA on Melrose Place, I would have been like, really? Like, amazing.
What
I mean,
smoking?
That would be, yeah. Love you. So, no, it's taken us on this wild journey that, like, I don't even know what this year holds. And I'm very open. I'm very open. I would like, we would like to have more stores in Southern California. Mm-hmm. We've been getting progressively smaller in terms of our retail footprint, just in terms of the square footage that we need to really operate in an intimate space. For instance, our store in Cherry Creek is maybe like 1300 square feet. Mm-hmm. Boulder's a little bit smaller, but it's multiple rooms, so it feels much smaller. Mm-hmm. LA is only 420 square feet, so it's very
it's
tiny.
It's like an apartment there. Yeah. It was like one of my bedrooms there.
Exactly. It's a shoebox, but it's gorgeous. So we'd like to have more smaller, intimate, private, mm-hmm. one-on-one spaces on the west side of LA in Santa Barbara. That's where I went to high school. We would love to spend more time there. So that is important. We also have aspirations to do a road show where we go to key cities in other states around the country and have, you know, like a week-long pop-up in a penthouse of sorts. Some other fine jewelry brands have been doing that, and we just love it and think it's so wonderful. Yeah. So as we gain, you know, more national brand recognition, that's what we'd like to do. And then the top of my bucket list, my husband is from France, so we spend a lot of time there. Mm-hmm. We have a house in the south and in a little town right outside of Saint-Tropez. And so I would love to do a season. It's only open one season of the year. It's like May through October, but I would love to have a little pop-up in the south of France for a season and just have the kids there. They're learning French at home. I just think it would be like a really, like, we made it to be able to do that and, like, meet tourists. I mean, there's a lot of American tourists there, so speaking French is, like, important but not super important, and it's a community that we know well and we love. We've been going for years, so that, to me, would be kind of, like...
So basically, national expansion and international expansion are on the bucket list.
Yes, all painted in this really romantic light. Going back to your earlier... If you do have a partner, or if you do feel like you're lacking in certain areas, like, there's always areas that we can all grow. But knowing your strengths is so important, because in this kind of venture, you're tested in ways that you didn't think were possible, right? Like, regularly. And so for me, it's so nice that she, like, we think similarly, but she thinks very differently than I do. And in terms of how I execute, it's very different than how she executes. So we do really complement each other in this really dynamic and synergistic way that I think makes us a much more effective team than I would be on my own or than she would be on her own.
Yeah, I love it. Combining the forces.
Exactly. No, it's so important, and I don't think it's talked about enough.
No, it's not. And that's even my husband and I. He's, like, very, like, the visionary, can really come up with ideas on the spot, 20 years already thinking ahead, and I'm just like, okay, like, what's the plan? How do we execute this? But we're a good match in that capacity because we feed off of those strengths, and, like, my weaknesses, that's his strength, and being able to complement that, I think, is really important. You're right, it's not talked about enough, but realizing we can't do everything, but being able to delegate the tasks that work best for each person can just make everything bloom and blossom awesome, just like it has for both of
you. And without the vision, you don't know where you're going.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's really useful to have that, to have, you know, a vision.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, I've been so enjoying this conversation. I feel like we could talk for a couple more hours. But where can people find you? We're going to link everything in the YouTube description, but if you could let us know as well.
Yes, absolutely. Definitely check out our Instagram first, where we love Sorrow, S-A-R-O on Instagram. Also TikTok, also Pinterest. And then our website, lovesorrow.com, has a wealth of information as well about the customization and things that we offer.
I'm so excited to see these penthouses popping up very soon. Thank you so much, Sasha and Carol, for being on today. It was such a pleasure to have you both, and so eye-opening just learning a little bit more about permanent jewelry, but the custom aspect of it, but you both do so beautifully. So thank you.
No, thank you for having us. Absolutely.
Make sure to like, subscribe, comment below what was the biggest takeaway from Sasha and Carol today, and we'll see you on the next episode.